For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Good evening. You are tuned in to Tando Radio Show here on the Black Talk Radio Network. My name is Scotty Reed. I am holding down the first 30 minutes of the program for you tonight. Dave will be joining us here in just about 30 minutes as he has some things that has him tied up, but that's okay. I'm here to fill in for him, and he'll join us again in just about 30 minutes. So thank you for joining us today on Tando Radio Show. Before we get started, we just want to remind you that the Black Talk Radio Network is managed by the nonprofit media organization Black Talk Media Project, and you can support our efforts by making a donation. Just go to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org if you would like to support the work we are engaged in. We actually just got engaged in a new project of reviewing some of the release secret recordings that Nixon made of various individuals. We actually created a Facebook page for that, which you can find at the address on Facebook is at Richard Nixon Tapes. Richard Nixon Tapes. And I published a video. It was about 23 minutes. That audio is really terrible. So what we're doing is taking the original audio files and removing some of the white noise from it, some of the electronic buzz that you hear throughout the audio. And then we're also increasing the audio so it makes it easier to understand what Nixon is talking about. And the one that I published today was Nixon talking to J. Edgar Hoover. And in the summary, it deals with the Black Panther Party. It deals with Bobby Seale, one of the founders of the Black Panther Party. They are discussing, this is Nixon and J. Edgar Hoover are discussing Angela Davis as well. Now, I haven't had an opportunity to listen to it in its entirety. I just enhanced the audio, turned it into a video, and uploaded. We actually have a secret work study group where we have a few volunteers who will be working on actually transcribing that information, the audio, because sometimes you just can't really tell what they're saying, and you might have to rewind it before you catch on to what they're saying. Other parts are more clear and you can understand what they're saying. And also, during the first half of Tando Radio Show, I'll actually be playing a breakdown of one of the tapes. Now, we will be publishing these audio files in their I shouldn't say original, because we're enhancing them, but cleaning them up. But we're going to publish those without commentary. But then on the ones that are relevant to what we discuss on Black Talk Radio Network, relevant to some of the issues we're dealing with today, me and whoever it is that does the review that's in our group, then we will do a breakdown. Now, I'm going to play one of those breakdowns of Nixon having a conversation talking about how the media is controlled by secret societies, which aren't really secret societies. People know about these clubs. They just don't know what all goes on in these clubs. So when we say secret societies, it's not really a secret if you know the name of it now, is it? How can you say that's a secret society when people, everybody know the name, everybody know where the club is located? But anyway, Bohemian Club, a lot of people call it Bohemian Grove. That's the location. That's the name of the compound. The actual name of the club is Bohemian Club. All right, so he was talking about the different members of the Bohemian Club who control the media, who work at these various newswire agencies. So it's very relevant today with the prevalence of fake news. But I would say to you, you've been getting fake news since the advent of television and radio from the United States in support of racism, white supremacy, and slavery. So I'll play that for you until Dave joins us. Also, if you would also like to support our work, you can also go to btrcommunity.com and join. It's a $24 a year subscription, and there is a free 30-day trial period for you to try it out. Check us out there, btrcommunity.com. It is a social media platform that we have set up as a result of the intrusive nature of these other social media platforms. I'm not personally telling anyone not to use them. I do warn you about what to expect. But when I joined Facebook, I knew going in, you know, that, hey, these people are going to be data collecting because they're running off a advertising model. So BTR Community, we don't show you ads. That's how we pay for the network. And with enough subscribers, we'll be able to add all the things that you can do on Facebook to our own community. So that's $25 a year that pays for your security, your anonymity, and also assuring that we will never have to data mine so that we can turn over information to somebody else to make some money to keep our work going. So that's btrcommunity.com, $24 a year. If you're interested in purchasing precious metals, you can check out prosperitymint.com. That's prosperitymint.com. Dave is an affiliate for that website. He does ask people to contact him first before they make a purchase so that he could give them some information that they may not find on the website. Okay, so with that said, I'm going to go ahead and cue up this interview. Well, it's not really an interview, but it is myself and Max Parthas breaking down this particular Nixon tape, which exposes fake American news media controlled by cult members. So stay tuned for that. Again, Dave will be joining us just about in 30 minutes.
Hi, the Black Talk.
Let me just jump ahead past
the Black Talk.
Thank you for listening to Black Talk Radio News with Scotty Reed. I am joined by Max Parthas to discuss his delve into the Nixon tapes, which are recordings made by the former president between February 1971 and July 1973. President Richard Nixon secretly recorded 3,700 hours of his phone calls and meetings across the executive offices. These recordings played a leading role in the resignation of the 37th President of the United States on August the 9th, 1974. They remain perhaps the greatest treasure of information ever left by a president, as well as the most complex, controversial set of presidential records in U.S. history. However, today, these recordings remain relatively unexplored on non-Watergate topics. Max Parthas started listening to the recordings, which are published at nixontapes.org and publishing excerpts. Max is concerned about reports that only one person is reviewing the tapes and the chance that the person will edit sensitive information that will be of importance to both the black and slavery abolitionist communities. Max recently published audio excerpts where Nixon is discussing how the mainstream media, newspapers, television, and radio are self-censoring information who are part of or acting on the request of members of the not-so-secret-anymore Bohemian Club. The recording is from 1971, and interestingly, the next year, the Frank Church Senate hearings on Operation Mockingbird exposed the CIA planning stories in the American press. This was also a tactic used by the J. Edgar Hoover's FBI COINTELPRO operation to discredit civil rights activists and anti-Vietnam War protesters. Thank you for joining me today, Max. And can you tell us in your words why you decided to undertake this monumental task of reviewing these recordings?
Yes, absolutely, brother. I'll tell you in my own words why I took on this undertaking. First of all, I had been getting reports and reading different reports now for a couple of years, ever since the first of the Nixon tapes were released and the media got a hold of them. And some of the quotes that came out of there only really convinced me of what I had already known to begin with. And that is that Richard Nixon, the first president to be forced to resign for crimes, was a racist and a sociopath. And that he specifically designed the war on drugs to target black people as a response to the black liberation movement of the 60s. And he took it upon himself, as you said, to record his own conversations, some 3,700 hours worth of audio tape. And throughout that audio tape, he acts like he doesn't know he's being recorded. I mean, he literally says some of the most amazing quotes you'll ever hear. I'll give you a couple of examples of what has already been published. Nixon said, "We're going to put more of these little Negro bastards on the welfare rolls, the 2,400 a family. Let people like New York Senator Pat Moynihan believe in all that crap. But I don't believe in it. Work, work. Throw them off the rolls. That's the key. I have the greatest affections for blacks, but I know they're not going to make it for 500 years. They aren't. You know it too. The Mexicans are around a different cup of tea. They have a heritage. At the present time, they steal. They're dishonest. But they do have some concept of family life. They don't live like a bunch of dogs, which the Negroes do live like." And then there's another quote where he said, "Bill Rogers has got, to his credit, it's a decent feeling, but somewhat sort of a blind spot on the black thing because he's been in New York. Well, they are coming along. And that, after all, they are going to strengthen our country in the end because they are strong physically, and some of them are smart," and so forth and so on. My own view is that I think he's right if you're talking in terms of 500 years. He said, "I think he's wrong if you're talking in terms of 50 years. What has to happen is they have to be, frankly, inbred. And you just, that's the thing, the only thing that's going to do it, Rose. That's an acting president sitting in the White House talking about how black people need to be inbred. And when he says inbred, he is talking about assimilation, about integration, about just making them vanish." So I also looked further, Scotty, and I saw that the only person who was handling the editing is Luke A. Nichter. he's a professor of history at Texas A&M University. And I don't challenge his credentials, which are listed there in full detail. What I challenge is the possibility that he might be a freaking racist and might purposely omit or take out things that have not been found yet that could be incredibly damaging, not only to the U.S. government, but also to the people who surrounded Nixon then and now. And if you just take a look at the NixonTapes.org, you'll see an image of this person who is a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white Texas A&M University professor. I think it's dangerous just to have this person going through these very sensitive tapes. So I took it upon myself to start listening, and I asked a few other people to help me out. I've only gotten in a few hours with Scotty, and I wasn't looking for anything about the Bohemian Groves, but I happened to find it. It popped right up there, and I sat there listening to a sitting president discuss the power possessed by this secret society, how deeply embedded they were in all of our systems, and how they were told that they have to put loyalty to the society ahead of loyalty to the nation. He even talked about how specific network televisions companies were bought out by the Nixon administration to specifically either not talk about Bohemian Groves, or if they do talk about it, only talk about it once and then try to spin it so it sounds better. This is 1971. Nobody was really talking about the Bohemian Groves until, you know, 2007. So we're going back to this secret society having this kind of power back with Nixon. Anyway, the tape will unfold and show all of that. Well, what I have been asking... Go ahead, Scotty.
I would like to add a side note to that, is that the Bohemian Club existed well before Nixon came to power. Yes. As I found information that the Manhattan Project, which produced America's nuclear weapon, was discussed at the club first.
Right. The atomic bomb was birthed at the Bohemian Groves. Amazing. So, yeah, when Kennedy was talking about uncovering these secret societies, I have to wonder now if the Bohemian Groves was what he was talking about. So, in any case, I've been asking people to, if they have the time. You don't have to sit there and do it for hours. I'm not doing it for hours. When I have some free time, I sit and listen to a particular tape all the way through until, you know, see if I can find anything. So if you have that time, do that, because I believe the smoking gun to our problems will be found right there in the Nixon tapes. And we need people to research it and look through it who don't have the potential to be as biased as the one person looking through them now. And I plan on making a forum on Facebook and on the BTR community where people can start to organize our study efforts on this and share the information we find.
Well, let's get into this excerpt that you have provided me with. It's about 9 minutes long. At any time that you would like me to stop the recording so that we can focus in on any particular thing that's said, just let me know, Max.
Right. And you do the same, Scotty. If something stands out for you, just stop it.
Romania, go to the city known where Alexander is. We have now discovered this guy, Barry, is the president of Grove, is opposed to your coming. He's, okay, did we knock him off? Well, I don't know. I've been trying to check it out, and I don't think so, but I just assume I got it. Ron, at my suggestion, talked to Walter Trohan last night. I asked him to call in to get squared away on the press, the whole, you know, the reaction press thing and all that. Your speech is going to be recorded. CBS has already told Ron that they've made a deal and they've got it covered.
Scott, stop right there. You may have to rewind that just a little bit, but right now, just so people understand, he's talking about a public image of the Bohemian Groves and how he just recently contacted CBS and they agreed to his demands. He'll go in further on not only CBS, but also two other stations or networks that he confronted and made demands to, and they succeeded to these demands except one.
Now, I would like to bring that into current context in the 2016 presidential contest. Through emails that were revealed by WikiLeaks, there was a strategy that was thought up by the Clinton campaign called the Pied Piper strategy. And this strategy was to get their quote unquote friends in the media. And it has been revealed that high level members of the Obama administration had siblings who work in the mainstream media. And the strategy was to elevate people like Ted Cruz and Donald Trump by giving them extensive media coverage above and beyond any coverage that any of the other Republican candidates got. Also, I was listening to a, I'm trying to recall the man's name. I think it's Ed Schultz. Okay. He used to work for MSNBC. And
he works for Russia.
Works for Russia Today, the Washington-based media company that focuses on politics and issues here in the United States. So he mentioned that he was due to do a live coverage while he was at MSNBC of Bernie Sanders announcing his candidacy for president. And he got a call from executives at MSNBC telling him that they were pulling the plug and they were not going to cover it. I think that shows that the practice is still in existence, and that the American public is still being manipulated by people in high places with political power using the American-based media.
Yeah, this is actually, they're talking about criminal activities. I mean, what kind of country do we live in where the president dictates to the media what they talk about and literally pays them off in doing so? So, Scott, if you just rewind it a little bit, we'll start from there.
You know, the reaction, press thing and all that. Your speech is going to be recorded. CBS has already told Ron that they've made a deal and they've got it covered. UPI has refused to abide by our press rule. They will not in any way take, they wouldn't consider any pool coverage, you know, that proposal that we had talked about. They wouldn't consider, because they will, they say they can get the story and they're not going to be bound by any rules off the record.
I want to stop it right there, because I mentioned in the opening of this podcast that the CIA, through Operation Mockingbird, was planting stories in the American press. And you can actually pull up a YouTube video of Frank, former Senator Frank Church, who I believe is deceased now, where he mentioned that the CIA was publishing stories and they had the cooperation of UPI. So while it may seem like they're being ethical in not agreeing to Nixon's rules, they were working with the CIA. And that is all recorded in transcripts from that committee, the Frank Church Committee, on the CIA planting stories in American press.
In this conversation, what you're referring to right here, Nixon basically says UPI refused to do what they told them to do, but they're only going to play it once, and then they're going to put a good spin on it. So they're on board in that manner. So it's really a paper protest.
Let's continue.
The Grove concern that Trohan talked with Ron about the coverage statement, and it ended, Ron said, wait, let me say, my Trohan was a cold. And so it was for my coming, first thing, or a letter said, yes, and I wrote and said, I agreed, I wouldn't Conrad, that was when, and I should have Bill Ron in on this before he talked to Trohan. I did it. You did it. Okay. You know, did Ron tell Trohan the plan to come in without the press?
Yes,
without Secret Service.
Yes,
he knows. Yeah. What was Trohan's view? Conrad not come.
Trohan's view was
not come.
He still wanted, you know, he didn't get it. Ron didn't raise the question whether he'll come or not come. They finished the whole thing, and Ron said something about, well, I guess everybody's, you know, looking forward to a visit or something. And Trohan said, well, can I speak with you very frankly? And Ron said, of course. Then he said, let me point out that there are, and this apparently is some of the old guard. I can see how it would be there.
Hey, stop it right there, Scott.
I checked with our advanced man who's out there.
Just to put it in perspective, what he's doing right now is talking about how members are going in, and because they're such high station members like congressmen, presidents, vice presidents, things like that, they're bringing in these Secret Service, and the Secret Service is leaking out secrets that shouldn't be leaked out. So the Grove was saying, and he said the old guards in particular, old guard members are people who have been members of the Bohemian Grove for 40 years or more. He's saying the old guard members are saying you got to leave those people behind and come by yourself. And then later at one point he even mentions that Nixon shouldn't come at all because it's causing too much controversy.
And that kind of reminds me, again, I like to try to make things relevant to recent happenings and news that we see occurring during this time period. But that just reminds me the commentary on the Secret Service leaking information. I would call them, those people, whistleblowers. Just like we have, I think his name was Jeffrey Skilling, who blew the whistle on the CIA torture program and was prosecuted by the Obama administration for leaking that information.
His brother is a member of the Grove who has spoken about, has so low-key his advance that he had, can't give me much of a reading, right? But he said one of the concerns is that breaks the Grove tradition. No, it's not that it breaks the tradition, it's that it puts a public spotlight on the Grove. And that there is the appearance there of this secret gathering over 3 weeks of all the power in the country, and what the hell are they up to, for one thing. The other thing, the drinking and debauchery business, right, is there. They've got a lot of prostitutes in the area, apparently, that they bring in, and they're afraid that's going to be apparently the huge encampment of the lumber mill or something. I don't know.
Montreal.
But
all the horrors.
I want to stop it right there. You mentioned Donald Trump, possible alleged use of prostitutes. That's what, if I'm not mistaken, and I heard that clearly, Nixon was expressing a concern about the debauchery and the prostitutes that these members would bring in to the club. And then you got future presidential candidates or congressional candidates, I'm not sure, but he said a candidate for government, you know, there as well. And so what I guess what he's expressing concern is that information could be used to blackmail a future president or congressperson. And, you know, we've seen those concerns expressed about Donald Trump and the infamous Steele dossier, where they claimed that he had people peeing on him in Russia and what have you.
Yes, Scotty. And, you know, the Bohemian Groves. And, you know, I got to repeat, I didn't go in looking for this. I'm looking for proof that the war on drugs was specifically meant to target black people. And to use that in an international court of law as proof of crimes against humanity perpetrated by the president of the United States of America. That was my goal. I was a shock as hell to hear this, and I suspect I'll hear a lot more. Bohemian Groves has a history of using live sacrifices in their ceremonies, which is called, I believe it is the ceremony of discarding care or something like that, where they worship this ancient god and swear to not give a damn about anybody. So yeah, this is powerful, and it shows that the president, while he was an acting president, was a member working within this group, and his priorities superseded that of the United States government and its people. Instead, his priorities and his allegiance was to the Grove. He was doing what they told him to do. He was relaying this information to an unknown person by the name of Bob, and people assume it might be Ehrlichman or one of those, but I don't know yet. In any case, this is a confession of crimes. Anyway, I'm done. There you go, Scotty.
It's part of every old tradition, and some of the underdogs do down there, screw around. But it's they're afraid that by putting the spotlight on, let me say this, also that the location of the Grove will be so pinpointed publicly. Let me give an illustration. I frankly don't think myself, and I just don't think that we should have probably gone through this earlier. And I think we can gracefully get out of it. What the hell, so I don't come. And then frankly, there'll be a lot of people within the Grove. Those people that think I should have will just be pissed off as hell at the old guard. And the old guard guys will have to take it. We'll just say the president in deference to the puts the Grove above the idea of coming. He'd like to come and will not come. I think we ought to do it that way. No, I just don't think we ought to chuck it out there.
I'm trying to get rather all negatives.
I think like I'm going to get some other reason. Get more out there. I've been trying to get to him.
You see, don't have people that are just going to tell us that who would like this. Let me say this. I know it real well. The overwhelming majority would love it. That's the overwhelming majority would love it. That's no more. But on the other hand, it's like these goddamn conservatives. The overwhelming majority would love it. And if you've got them nitpickers, could sure. Just knock your brains out.
Sure.
I don't know Baird, who the hell he is.
What's he? He is, Walter Baird is his name. He's the head of Pricewaterhouse in New York.
Oh, Pricewater, I met him.
He's an accountant type, and he's about your age, I guess. One of the older guys.
Yeah. Oh, and I don't know this Baird. The one I know is Julian Baird. Probably Slaughter.
This is Walter Baird. And what Joanne then said is, Baird is particular. Baird, when our bandstand got there, he dealt with Baird. And Baird, the bandstand said, he asked the first question about a helicopter landing. Baird said, let me start out by saying that I sincerely hope that in making this quick check, you will then report back to Washington that it isn't feasible for the president to come. But Mike said, as they got through the whole thing, and Mike made it clear to him, we didn't plan to bring any reporters, you didn't plan to have Secret Service men, you weren't going to bring a whole entourage in and all this stuff, that he backed down. By the time they finished the planning meeting, Baird was really quick.
Are we sure of this? Okay,
we cannot let the banks man in the hole.
Talk themselves into what we want. Get the goddamn truth with our heart off.
I told him that he said, the guy said at the beginning that, but he said by the time we were through, we didn't push the helicopter, we didn't push for anything.
They do a good job.
That he backed, he by then was his guard was much more relaxed. Trojan says that Baird sent you a very tough letter earlier in the year saying, please do not come to the Grove. But Trojan intercepted the letter.
Oh, I didn't get it.
Baird apparently consulted with him, with Trojan, and Trojan said, you can't write a letter like that to the President of the United States.
Again, I think what we're hearing now is the explanation of why the Grove feels like they've been getting too much exposure because of the high-profile members. They're like, we didn't send the helicopter. We normally send a helicopter to get these guys, but this time we didn't send a helicopter, and we didn't have a motorcade, and we didn't have all these things. And at one point, we even had to say, look, too many people are paying attention, so just don't come at all this time. You just skip it, because they're following you.
Right. I think we heard earlier was he was saying that they don't want the location to be given up.
Well, what they were saying is that it's becoming very public. And once it becomes ex-public, so much people know, it just becomes a target. So he may have been discussing the potential of moving the location. But I think that tradition won't let them do that.
Bohemian. You can't tell about why did he write it down? Why did he write it down?
Baird, because of this.
Baird, because it had been discussed amongst others by the guy. So you decided, no, this
is what happened to him. Baird, Democrat, Republican.
No, we don't know. But then they don't think it's political. That was why Trojan wrote his letter to you saying you shouldn't come.
Right.
He wrote a milder letter.
Well, Trojan, there he is. Trojan was the one that urged me to come earlier.
I know.
He's fixed it, see.
That's right.
And he changed his mind, so I said, fine, I won't go.
And Trojan's view now is not that it's, that there's any unanimous view he shouldn't come. It's that there is a little segment.
Is it worth it, though? Is it really worth it to go the hell out there and have a little segment raising hell?
Well, that's my question.
We've got to go better than the guys. We've got lots of them now. I don't want to talk ourselves into it, Bob, because my view is that it's really not worth it. It is not worth, frankly, going out. And then if we can screw the press corps that way, too. They don't get a trip to California, which is bottom line.
No, I don't really think so. I think they'd be delighted. You wouldn't screw the press corps. They think it was great, of course, yeah. Because there's no big stir in the press. The wire services are very upset. And, of course, the chairman of both the wire services are at the Grove.
I want to stop it there. He said the wire services, that's API, UPI, what they're talking about is these newswire services that are then also picked up by smaller news outlets, you know, like on a subscription base, because I once tried to interview a person who had written an article that was published by the Associated Press, and he said that he could not do the interview with me because it was against the rules of the Associated Press. And so we just heard him say that the executives of these wire services were fully on board, and also members of the Grove.
Yep, old guard members.
So this is really just confirming the Frank Church Committee, the COINTELPRO operations to demonize the Black Panther Party, Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X in the press, participated. So, you know, this is just really confirming or more confirmation of what people should know, because a lot of people, millions and millions of people, tune in to the corporate media, and it's really a lot of fake and distorted news. And this is why I believe there is an attack on independent media.
Pretty much is a confession of all of that by a sitting president right here in this little 8-minute tape.
Well, we have about a 1 minute left, and we will go ahead and play that out.
Fine, that's the point. What about the gridiron analogy? They don't buy that. No. Well, they don't buy it just because that's your quarters. It's a different place.
Is that part of it? This was a part that confused me. He was talking about another group called the Gridirons or something like that, and I've never heard of them.
The press is in a gridiron, too. And they filed a formal protest on the gridiron last year. But then the neighbors said, no, not the working press. Because there's only 50 members of the gridiron. People that aren't members, where they've got against it. We're sure smart enough to do that, son of a bitch, for sure. No, don't you agree? Getting out of the gridiron and White House correspondence. Boy, that's the smartest thing we're going to do, believe me. But, well, Bob, I'll tell you. Talk a little bit more about it.
Okay, that's pretty much it right there. Looks like they were wrapping it up. I did look up the Gridiron Club, and a Google entry says it's a charitable organization. The Gridiron Club and Foundation was founded in 1885 as the Gridiron Club of Washington, D.C., one of the oldest and one of the most prestigious journalistic organizations in Washington, D.C. So there's another connection to the media being controlled by members of these secret societies.
1885, 20 years after the emancipation, just around the time that the KKK was born.
Right. And this also, you know, we can point to this as there was all white supremacy has always been promoted through the American press. And I'm sure that these organizations, these journalistic organizations, were behind or had a hand in all of the racist commentary and news reports that were coming out concerning the oppression of Black people. Because you got to figure this is during the Black Codes. I bet you they wrote publications justifying convict leasing and the like.
Yeah, this is powerful, man. And let me ask you a question. Do you think that just this we're here, what we listened to today, is evidence for crimes of, I don't know, even up to treason? Because literally you're betraying your own government.
It is subversive. It is right. Subversive. Yes, it is.
Man. And then on top of that, to show without a doubt, he's telling you that both of these wire services are run by people who are old guard members of the Bohemian Groves. And their allegiance is not to the news. It's to the Bohemian Groves.
Yes,
and whatever
not
it is
to
they
the truth.
Want to get out.
Yes, not to the truth. It's not to facts.
Maybe this will get out further and it will cause a buzz. In the meantime, I'm going to keep looking, because if we can find this in only a couple hours, it's a, you know, imagine what else is in there. And before they disappear from public access, please give us a hand to go through these.
I want to end this broadcast with a quote from Malcolm X. This is the quote that caused me to found the Black Talk Media Project, which manages the Black Talk Radio Network. So let me pull that quote up, and this is Malcolm X's quote. The media is the most powerful entity on earth. They have the power to make the innocent guilty and to make the guilty innocent, and that's power, because they control the minds of the masses. There was a warning that was issued by Malcolm X in mid-1960s, and it's prophetic. It's very prophetic, as I'm not sure he was aware of all of these connections to these secret societies that these executives of the American media had. But Max, I want to thank you for joining me today. Did you have any final comments?
Yes, real quick, I just want to quote my brother Swift Justice, who recently told me that in reply to my asking, you know, what can people do? They're asking me what they can do. He said, it's not about what you can do. It's what you are willing to do. Think about it. Thank you, Scotty. I appreciate you allowing me to share this story here on Black Talk Radio Network with Scotty Reed. Look forward to our next program of New Abolitionist Radio this Wednesday at 8 p.m. right here on the same network.
This has been Scott.
All right, I'm going to end it there. Let me check the board, see if we got Dave on. Let me see. I don't see Dave. We do have Mario wants to chime in. Mario, thank you for calling in the Tando Radio Show. What's on your mind?
Greetings, Brother Scotty. Can I hear?
Yes, you can.
Oh, great show, man. Very powerful information. Very powerful information. I was just calling in because I didn't catch the beginning of that recording, and I was wondering if you could, first and foremost, let me know what the name of that is so I can do some further research on that, and also maybe give a summary of it, because it was very difficult to hear and make out. And number two, also to add on to some of the information that you were giving out, you know, the Rockefellers and Carnegie, they pretty much took over the media during World War One, you know, because they were funding both sides and they wanted the war to continue when it looked like Germany was about to go ahead and get the knockout punch to England. So they drummed up support of the American people through propaganda. But Rockefeller bought up a lot of the media institutes, as well as putting a lot of the editors on the payroll. So, and, you know, of course, they're members of the Bohemian Grove and all these other secret societies. So, you know, you guys are on point, and powerful information, man. Keep it up.
Yeah, you can find the podcast where you'll be able to hear it better. Now, I did not enhance that audio. Max did that when he just sent me the clip. But I have taken it as a project under Black Talk Media Project. We created a Facebook page called At Richard Nixon Tapes, where we'll be publishing those. I published an enhanced version today where he was talking to J. Edgar Hoover. I'm right now going through the section where all the tapes are him in conversation with J. Edgar Hoover, as well as other people. I haven't had a chance to listen to it in its entirety. I just, you know, cleaned up the audio. That's probably why it was kind of hard to hear, especially if you're listening through the telephone. But you can go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. It's under the BTR News podcast section. Nixon Tape exposes fake American news media controlled by powerful cult members. Now, just to piggyback on what you just talked about, the Ford Foundation, I was just tweeting at the Ford Foundation. It was either yesterday or the day before yesterday. Now, they have partnered with Van Jones, and Van Jones works for CNN right now. And they're partnering with Van Jones to do, I don't know the details, but they just shared a little bit on Twitter talking about this criminal justice reform initiative. And as Max has pointed out, you can't abolish slavery. It's not mass incarceration. It's a continuation of slavery. If it was mass incarceration, 60% of Americans would be locked up, regardless of their skin color. There's not even 60%, not even 50%, not even 30% of black people that's locked up. But it is a lot of people. It's over a million people at any given time. I think it's 1.5 million, something like that. Okay, so you can't reform. What reform looked like of reform was the 13th Amendment when they reformed slavery. They didn't abolish it. They just moved it from the plantation to the prison. And so I tweeted at Van Jones and the Ford Foundation, and I expressed those sentiments and tweeted them a copy of the 13th Amendment, an image of the 13th Amendment. So these things are still going on today. Okay, and so the whole media narrative is about mass incarceration, and we know, you know, I'm not saying anything bad about her. I don't know her personally, but I felt like that coining that term mass incarceration, you know, Michelle Alexander, who did she get paid by to write that book? She got paid by George Soros of the Open Society Foundation. Okay, so all they're doing is trying to prevent us from ending slavery by keep talking about reform. And that language is being driven through the media. And so this is very important for us to establish our, you know, as I mentioned in that podcast, this is why I established Black Talk Media Project, a nonprofit. We don't get grants from the Ford Foundation. We don't get them from George Soros. They ain't nobody running up to us with no million-dollar checks like they ran up to Black Lives Matter, who has subverted the Black Liberation Movement and has basically been a stain on the Black Liberation Movement, telling lies about, you know, patriarchy and saying we've had enough heterosexual males leading Black liberation and we need to make a space for Black women and homosexuals and all of that. All of that is a distortion of the Black liberation movement, and they gotten Bitcoin from these different foundations and donors to the Democratic Party, and it's doing us a lot of damage. But, you know, we do what we can through Black Talk Media Project with the little bit of coins that we do get from our small group of dedicated donors. So it is very important. This is why I tell people, if you're going to get into podcasting, if you're going to launch a radio show, okay, you need to take it serious. Because too many of us don't take things serious. There's so much access to producing our own media. You can go to YouTube. You can go to, you know, these other platforms. And any and everybody can get on there. And then a lot of it is garbage that hasn't been researched whatsoever. But we're just repeating what we heard. Well, what we heard might have been a bunch of lies. And we need to do our own research. And anybody, in my opinion, that is going to call themselves an independent citizen journalist, then they need to put in the work. They need to put in that work. Let me see if this is Dave texting me. No, I don't think it is, because he said he was only going to be 30 minutes late. But yeah, so you'll be able to find, again, I went through one of the portions. It was 23 minutes long. I listened to part of it, the first part of it, but I got to listen to the rest, because they mention Angela Davis. He mentions the Black Panther Party. It talks about respectful police. It talks about the drug war and all of that. So I can't wait till I have time to, you know, break it down and then, you know, do another podcast breaking it down like me and Max just did. But we are publishing the raw files on Facebook, and the name of that Facebook page is at Richard Nixon Tapes, if you want to follow that page. And of course, we will be like I told Max, yeah, I'm putting it on there because it has the potential to reach the most people. But when we do our breakdown of these various tapes, then we'll put those on our Black Talk Radio network platform. And of course, I'm saving all the files on my computer so they don't get lost. I think Ross wants to chime in. Ross, thanks for calling in the Tando Radio Show. What do you have to say on this matter?
Hey, peace and love, my big brother. Good to hear you this evening. And of course, you're doing a great job holding Dave down. I'm definitely going to look into those Nixon tapes and start digging into some of this myself. I didn't get to hear stuff too clearly either, but, you know, I usually call it from my phone. So definitely big up to Max just for exposing that this information is available to us. And what you said not too long ago really struck a chord with me about the distortion of
the truth about the Black Lives Matter, you're talking about the distortion of our Black Liberation Movement. And what I find is that there's just mass distortion of just about everything that our grandcestors and elders have done. And you have a lot of young people that look like us who haven't done any real research. And, you know, like you said, they're putting out all this information, and it's just complete misinformation. And then they have, like, these religious cult followings of these other young, confused victims of white supremacy who will, you know, just tout them as if they walk on water. And I remember seeing one recent distortion. There was a guy who put out a video, you know, stating he's one of the guys who propagate this concept that, you know, Aboriginal Americans are not African and all of this stuff. And he took a clip from Malcolm X where Malcolm X was discussing the fact that, you know, he said, we are Aborigines. And if anyone knows Malcolm's history, he's a Pan-Africanist, always has been. But yet the context in which this guy took the clip, he took it to say that, you know, Malcolm knew that that black people were not from Africa. That was the premise. And this is the wholesale distortion. There's another guy who's on the same kick who put out a video with Dr. Ben. And, you know, in the title, you know, Dr. Ben knew blacks were here before Columbus. Of course he did. But Dr. Ben was also a Pan-Africanist and one of Malcolm X's closest confidants. Pure distortion. And then you have all these people going in these threads, in these comment sections, talking about this so-called information that these people are putting out completely out of context, distorting the legacy and the actual facts of what these people said and did and the context in which they said and did it. And they have these, like I said, it's like almost religious the way that some of these folks act. And I think this is not by accident. I just think that because of the advent of social media, you know, we have a lot more access to agent provocateurs. And a lot of right. these agent provocateurs have their own agenda. And as long as, and for some of our people who don't do their due diligence, as long as a person says what they want the person to say or what they believe is true but have no proof of themselves, they just take it and run with it.
I learned a new term from psychology. I posted it in BTR community the other day, and I mm-hmm. think you chimed in on it, Ross, but it is called confirmation bias. And in yes. a nutshell, what confirmation bias is when we cherry pick information from different sources, from well-known sources, but we cherry pick that information as long as it lines up with our personal yes. biases or our personal viewpoints, and we ignore or we set aside all other evidence that's to the contrary. I did not know there was a psychological term for that, but it's called confirmation bias. And so just an example of that, you know, I put out a podcast last week about when you had one of Martin Luther King's closest friends, Harry Belafonte, said that, you know, he gave a PBS interview and he said the only thing left for black people to do is burn it down. Okay, so that's a reference to Dr. King saying, I fear we're integrating our people into a burning house. Now, some people have taken that to mean that he said integration was wrong, which all integration was civil rights laws, which allow you to sue someone, like, for example, for racial discrimination, like what we saw in what's the name of the coffee? Starbucks. Okay.
Starbucks, yeah.
Yeah, it allows, if you can prove your case, you can go to court and you can recover damages. And if you got enough evidence, they probably won't even go to court. They'll settle out of court. That's all that was. Employment legislation, employment rights, labor rights, and voting rights. You know, if you're going to take taxes from me, how the hell are you going to deny me a right to vote for something, vote in something that I'm paying for? So that's what that was. So that's not what he meant. What he said was, if you look at the entire quote, which I published in his conversation with Harry Belafonte, was he was saying that America ain't never going to be moral. It doesn't have a moral vision. It is not. It's going to keep practicing injustice, and the victims of that injustice is going to burn it down. That's what he was talking about. So,
yes, sir.
Yeah. So, you know, again, look up that term. It's called what's the term again, man? I'm getting
confirmation bias. And I actually looked at that article. I chimed in on that thread. And to me, the confirmation bias is just a form of mental illness, and it ties into cognitive dissonance and reading comprehension, because I find all three of those things go hand in hand as far as what I see amongst some victims, you know. And we've experienced that even on BTR community, where, you know, some folks will put up articles and haven't really read the article and make these outlandish statements. And when you read the article, the statements they make have nothing to do with what's in the article, or it's just a complete, like you said, distortion of what was in the article. And, you know, it's just a lot of that going on. And I just think that that is extremely dangerous, because we're in a time in which, like Dr. Wilson said so eloquently before she passed away, that, you know, white people are trying to go back to a more overt form of domination, white supremacy, and practicing slavery and human trafficking. And this is not the time for misinformation. Like, it's like you said, if you're going to be doing this kind of stuff, this work, you have to take it really, really seriously, because it's not a game. You know, this is life and death situations, and people are looking for, you know, potentially life-saving information. So if you read an article and can't even comprehend what you read, you shouldn't be speaking on it. It just doesn't make sense to me. And there's just more and more of that. And then YouTube, just like you said, is a platform where you can learn a lot. But you have to be very discerning about what you're listening to or watching and who is giving that information. And then as you start to pay attention, especially if they're taking quips and quotes from our grandcestors, and if you know the history of those grandcestors, based on, again, cognitive dissonance, these people have their own agenda, and they're making up a narrative around, you know, a 3 to 5 minute segment of something that an ancestor said, and they're not even there to defend themselves, but the history is there as far as their position on things, but this person is distorting that truth, and then they have a bunch of followers, just yes men chiming in, or yes women chiming in behind them, and saying, yeah, 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 this person got it right. And I'm like, well, you couldn't have actually done your research or even read anything about that person and come to that conclusion.
Let me give you an example of that.
Provocateur, just outright liar. Go ahead. What you
Let me give you an example of that. And we're going to take our station identification break at the top of the hour and let Dave reclaim his time on his show. But I saw a clip of Muhammad Ali. Somebody posted a clip on Twitter of Muhammad Ali saying, you mentally ill if you want to go somewhere that people don't want you and all that. Well, you can say that about the United States. You know what I'm saying? White people don't want us here. They wanted to get rid of us after the Civil War. They even paid big money to establish the African nation of Liberia and ship a bunch of Africans there. But everybody didn't want to leave. So this person used that clip, and they also used one of Malcolm X, but not sharing how these people had evolved in their view as they gained more knowledge. That's the beautiful thing about Malcolm X, that his story tells me, is it shows a evolution of his viewpoints and his ideology as he traveled the world, as he read more, and he gathered more information. And I published an article in response I didn't publish it, but I shared an article in response from a quote from Muhammad Ali saying his biggest regret in his life was he turned his back on Malcolm X, and that he wished he'd have been able to tell him he was sorry, because everything he said was true, and that he was ahead of his time and what have you. So, you know, a lot of people don't even realize Malcolm X, the Organization for African American Unity, which was modeled after the organization on the continent of Africa, was part of the civil rights movement. Okay, this is when he created his own. But listen, we're at the top of the hour. Of course, you know, I got to turn it over to Dave. And
I'm brother, thanks for the conversation. I mute myself.
All right. Well, thank you for chiming in, and also thank you to Mario for chiming in. But let me just say this: it is not a conspiracy theory for me to tell you that you're being lied through these corporate media outlets. You just got the conspiracy facts from Nixon on that tape. When somebody's talking about a conspiracy theory, that means I'm theorizing about something. I'm using circumstantial evidence. I don't really know for sure, but it looks like this is the case. It does not look like it's the case that we're being lied to by mainstream corporate media. And when I say that, I'm not talking about just television. I'm talking about television, cable news. I'm talking about radio. I'm talking about newspaper. It doesn't look like they are lying to us and feeding us a bunch of disinformation. That is what they're doing. And it's confirmed not only in this particular segment of that Nixon tape, but it's also been confirmed in other things as well, as I talked about the church committee. So again, you, like Ross used the term discerning. You have to be discerning about everything that you read, everything. And I always tell people, don't even take my word for nothing. All right. I appreciate that people trust that I do my research, but you still should verify it for yourself so you know for yourself. Okay, so with that said, we're going to take a station identification break, and on the other side, Brother Dave will reclaim his time. You're listening to Tando Radio Show right here on the Black Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. It's your boy Dave from L.A. Just got in a little while ago. Was hearing Roz and Scotty hold it down for us here. Thank you so much, because this is not my show. This is our show, and I greatly appreciate it. I heard that Mario called in and chimed in. I heard Roz had called in and chimed in. And I didn't get to hear the tape that Scotty had of Crookson. And I didn't say that wrong. He was a Crookson. All of them are crooks. You got to know a lot about the Nixon and the Bushes. The Nixons and the Bushes go hand in hand, and they were very instrumental in the overall expanding of the Nazi Party in the overall country, which was already there before they were born, and was a part of the overall fiber of this organization or this corporation known as the United States. So, man, I missed it. I wish I would have heard it. I was just hearing some good things from Scotty and from Roz, because that was the only two people that I heard. And I just want to say thank you all. Thank you, brothers, for chiming in and doing what you do. Scotty, thank you for holding it down. And I heard confirmation bias was talked about. Yeah, I call that ego bias. Confirmation bias, I call it ego bias. It's all about your ego. Most people don't search for truths. You know, and the thing about searching for truths is that it's very easy to be biased in that overall search. And the real thing that I always try to, and what I learned to do, was to let the evidence of the truth lead you to the path of its existence. Because as I always say, the truth doesn't need you. You need the truth. And we all have different forms of truth. But great, great part of the show. I didn't get to hear that first part. But big ups to my man, Roz. Big ups to Scotty. So I'm definitely going to try to hear this over again. And I heard some things about reading comprehension. Oh, man. Whew, very, very important. And reading comprehension comes from picking up the overall spirit, and as Scotty and Roz was talking about discernment, picking up the overall spirit of the intent of the language that's being used, and the message it's trying to convey without giving up what its true intentions are. It's always an agenda. Always, always an agenda. We need to be very aware of that. Yes, everything that there's propaganda in everything, and there's an intent by all that do speak, and you have to find out what is that individual's intent, you know? So I love the old saying that, you know, there's two different forms of lying in the overall spectrum of society, but as many forms, but One form of lying is like politicians. Politicians lie to keep you from the truth, while an artist may lie to you to get you to it. So, and that's because we've been so thoroughly, indoctrinated into being so easily manipulated because we don't have real self. We can't, our overall ability to have being able to self-sustain is minimum. So we're always seeking, we're always looking for self-validation. We're always looking for someone to agree. We're always looking for and agree from just the egotistical standpoint, not from the building standpoint. That's why I love you all here, because my overall, I see that you all are definitely building things because there is no leadership that we have here. We are all trying to do what's in our best interest individually, in our best interest as a family unit, in our best interest as a community unit. But we got another caller in queue, and I'm going to go to that caller real quick. My man Otis is there, but before we go to Otis, I'm going to say I'm going to pick up on what today's show would have been, not today, because it's just too much to it. And so we'll just have open discussion and jump back in on some different things. I would love to. I'm sorry I missed that with Nixon the crook. All of these celebrity figureheads are major crooks, and so wish I would have heard that. So let's go to my man, Brother Otis. Brother Otis, welcome to Tando Radio Show. What say you, bro?
What's up? What's up, gentlemen? I just wanted to throw something in because we're talking about comprehension and taking things out of context, confirmation bias. I had a really knockdown drag out in real time when Obama gave his speech, and he used a phrase that we heard repeatedly, a rising tide lifts all ships. And I was listening to it with a group of people that I've known all my life, and they talk, well, yeah, he's right. I said, well, see, that's part of not comprehending something. He hooked you on something. Tell that to a man stuck in the middle of an ocean in a shanty or overboard with no life raft. Who gives a damn about the ships when you don't got no ship? The analogy is useless. What good does it do to tell you a rising tide lifts all ships, and you're stuck on shore with the rising tide living in a shanty?
The rising tide meaning is going to that their overall ships of subjugation and enslavement are going to be traveling the high seas and delivering the cargoes of death throughout the world. The rising tides of whose ships? And the rise of tides of what ships? And you're absolutely right, Otis. And this is why I think it's so important for us to not only have reading comprehension, but to have comprehension of what a person's intentions are. And people will pretty much tell you what their intentions are by their actions, by their historical truths, by their habits, by their directions. And that was part of, for today's show, and Otis brought up a great, great point that, we were so, and it's so easy to sway the people by the eye, the weak sense of the eye, because it feel good, it looks good, so it must be good. All poison is sweet. And as he says, all ships rise with what was it again, Otis? It was all ships rise with the rising tide. What was it again? You said
rising tide lifts all ships. If you're not
rising tides, right?
What good is that to you? You don't have a ship.
right. Rising tides lifts all ships, and exactly. And not only that, it's. And what Otis is saying is that there is no benefit for you. The rising tide for the ship that's already. We should actually remove all of our energy from this system. And I'm definitely going to, for Monday's show, which we will have for today's show, and the title of today's show is About Time Countries Die for Their Citizens. Because too often, the rising of the tide lifting their ships is their warships. and their warships hit the overall seas to bring about death and destruction and famine and sickness and to disenfranchise people globally. Well, it's time. It's about time for countries to die for the citizens instead of citizens dying for the countries. You know, there was a so-called speech, and I remember when I was a child and I first heard about the speech, and I called BS on it. And it was Kennedy when he said, "Don't ask what your country could do for you, but ask what you can do for your country." You out your mind. You out your mind. And this is all the part of the overall propaganda that we are constantly bombarded with. So then we start to think that we're crazy, or other people that talk against this system is crazy, when the one that's really nuts is the one that goes for the overall program.
Jay.
Yes, sir.
Before you move on, I got to throw in my other least favorite one. When all of these politicians tell you, "I hate identity politics." What the hell are you saying? If you don't have your interest in mind, which is your identity, what the hell should I be politicking for? There is nobody that doesn't practice identity politics. That is exactly what it is. I identify what I need, and then I go lobby my government to get my taxpayer money back.
Exactly. And, you know, it's so true. And this is why I'm going to tell you, we have to use a different consciousness. We have to look at things from a different consciousness. Just because those individuals over there want to practice and engage and have these activities doesn't mean that we need to participate in it. Once we stop participating, then now you can establish some identity. Because what's been actually identified for us is that we've identified ourselves as citizens of the United States, as having constitutional civil rights and all these other things. And as you always hear me say, before you proclaim something, some delusionary myth or a doctrine of subjugation and enslavement, such as your civil rights, you better read the civil rights, see what it says in it first. And have an understanding of what that means. Civil rights ensures enslavement. As you always hear Scotty say, it's never been abolished. It's never been abolished. It's never been challenged. It's always reinvented or revolutionized itself. And so, big ups to you, L.A. Ramon. Yes, I will definitely check out that. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation on anything today, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. I really don't want to get too deep into anything other than the momentum that's already been established. And I just want to thank once again Scotty, thank all of you, Mario. I heard Mario called in, Brother Otis called in, and Roz has always called in. So,
hey, Dave.
Scotty.
Yeah, if I may, I want to chime in on something you said about slavery's never been abolished. I have a different point of view on that. And it has been it has been challenged. It was challenged every time somebody ran away from their enslavement. They were challenging.
Right.
They were challenging
right.
their enslavement.
So true, Scotty. So true.
Yeah, so there has always been an abolitionist movement ever since the advent of slavery, and that's throughout world history, but I focus particularly on the history here. And, you know,
right.
the reason that they had to reform slavery, which is what the 13th Amendment did, it reformed it and placed it in the hands of the state and what have you, but it's still private individuals can practice it by just buying stocks in companies that use prison slave labor. So, but we are challenging it now, you know, new abolitionist movement. We're challenging enslavement right now. Mm-hmm. But here's my concern, though, that in the media plays a role in it. We have bought into to this lie that slavery has been abolished. And the media
right.
distract us with symptoms. I'm not saying racism isn't a problem, But I'm saying the media focuses more on racism and addressing little individual acts of racism, and it obscures the fact that they practice in slavery. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's what really right. needs to be challenged is slavery in all its forms. But yep. I really focus in on the physical enslavement, because we got brothers and sisters on these prisons who are being murdered. If you see what happened, you know, in South Carolina recently and what have you. So, you know, we are challenging. There have always been small groups of people who have challenged slavery. And if we could just get a majority of the people to challenge it, it'll be abolished. But again, we keep getting distracted, man, by other issues. Again, not saying these other issues are not important, but to me, it's about priorities, and my number one priority is to end slavery.
Right, and you know what, Scotty? Let me re-emphasize something a little plainer by me, because you're absolutely right. When I said that it hasn't been challenged, I was saying more, but there's never been an institutionalized challenging of it. And you're absolutely right. Those that run away are challenging. The abolition movement challenges. And the you know, racism is what the system actually created. So it always wants you to fixate your overall vision to that, because that's a facade of what the true intention is. The true objective is to have subjugation and enslavement, the stealing of energy. That's what the true objective is, and you're absolutely right. So I would say, let me put it in a better context that represents what I'm really saying, because what you were saying I totally agree with, and that's really what I meant, was that today's world, subjugation and enslavement has just been revolutionized. It's just been able to have an evolutionary process. It's been able to have a nurtured process to maintain its overall stronghold and in its footing and its foundation into our everyday global society. And you're absolutely right. And the challenges haven't been from a institutional or a massive global movement by those that are being adversely affected by the overall subjugation and enslavement, because many think that they're not enslaved. Many don't know that they are, and if they don't know that they are, how will they ever know that they're ill, that they need to be able to actually seek a cure instead of health care? And so totally agree with you, Scotty. And it was just the way that I was representing, and it was you clarified it, and I just was the same thing that I was saying in a different way, and so I just wanted to make that clear. Totally agree. That is so true. Every time that a person runs, that's an individual choice, because that's the most powerful thing, is the execution of your will. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I don't follow the crowd. I don't believe that there's safety in numbers. I don't believe that. I don't live by that. I realize that my talents and abilities were given to me uniquely, individually, as a free will to be executed by me. And I love to work through cooperation with that. So because of that, I respect every individual's execution of their free will. You could do whatever you want. My thing is that once your overall free will encroaches on someone else's, that's where the boundaries are. That's where you're overstepping your ability. Now it's going to be this is what you heard it before. This is a fight of wills. You ever hear them talk about the fight of wills? But in this situation, you know, here we've lost our will to contest. And to contest from a standpoint of not being included. So what, they don't want to include you in this? That's a good idea for you to walk away from it. But see, the system knows, by having that overall exclusionary emotional tie to it, then that will make you want it even more. If you really think about how this system has indoctrinated us, when we can't have something, we wanted even more, because we didn't know that that's the overall what we've been taught and everything. Because you're never taught why you shouldn't have. What you're taught is that you're not entitled to it because somebody else is. Somebody else can have it. You're not good enough to have it. And we've allowed ourselves to be so easily manipulated to our own demise that that type of feeding, and that plays itself throughout our whole life. It takes deep root in ourselves. It conjures bitterness. It establishes a foothold for anger. And anger is always the Achilles heel to wisdom. Always. And we always need to be wise, because there is a very shrewd evil fox, or very shrewd evilness, that is constantly devouring and chasing. Then it's institutionalized itself in all of the propaganda that we eat. It realizes the importance of your will and your energy. We don't. So yes, thoroughly, and I greatly appreciate that. Hey, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. Now, with that being said, you know, we could talk about things but until we put actions behind different things. And I think it's very important for us and for you, and I know it's been extremely important for me, so I'll just talk about me. It's been very important for me to take responsibility, good and bad, for the things I want and things I don't want, and things I like and the things I don't like. And that's not always a very easy thing to do, but it is a very healthy thing to do. And we have to take responsibility for what we know about some of the things that we know is going on. We may not know the exact thing that's going on, but we know that the overall agenda is an evil one. So we should never really make any deals with that system unless we plan on losing that portion of our soul. And we continue to make deals with it. And I think one of the most powerful things is for us to start saying no to ourselves on small things and allow those things to start to build up. Because everything that we are bombarded with and all of the burdens that we bear, they didn't come on in a gradual process as though we may think. They were dropped on us immediately, and it's been institutionalized through our parents, grandparents, and everything that we held dear to and we loved, and everything that we claimed. We claimed certain cities as ours. We claimed certain blocks as ours. We claimed certain people as ours. We claimed certain organizations as ours. We've claimed certain corporations as ours. We claim certain ideology as ours. And the thing about then claiming those type of things is that brings on the energy and the spirit that goes along with it. There are inanimate objects that can have a spirit now, because we as individual and as people can give our energy to something, and that thing can start to live based off of the energy that we put into it. Our energy is so strong that we can actually raise the dead. An inanimate object is a non-living object. We can give our energy to it, and that can have a spirit. A tank is an inanimate object built by men, energized by men for the purpose of men. Now that tank lives. Artificial intelligence. Cars. Buildings. That's why giving of our energy is so important. We have to be extremely frugal. And there's a great responsibility into what we give energy into. Because whatever we give energy to, it shall too live. It rises from the state of non-existence into the state of existence and relevance. Because now it has power. This is why you start to hear a lot of artists singing about different things. And they talk about power. Someone said, Brother Dave.
Hey, peace and love, King. This is Raj. How you doing?
My man, what's up, Raj? What's going on? Raj, hold on. You know, one thing, I appreciate some of the things that you were saying, you and Scotty, and I really do appreciate, you know, we talked about people posting things and not really knowing what's in them, you know?
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's, you know, it's... It's always been, you know, it's rising. The thing that happens is that our egos play out in so many different ways, and we become some of our greatest illness.
I agree.
And, you know, and I think it's really important for when sometimes people will, and in today's world, speaking is not given much thought. Everything that you speak is actually the birthing of so much. And we've gotten away from the importance of it and how fragile speech is. Speech is extremely fragile. It's as fragile as our physical lives.
Yes, sir.
They both work off of a frequency that is so valuable that it could be damaged and put in a different direction than what's intended. It's fragile, extremely fragile. It's extremely breakable. And so when you were talking about that, that's so true. And I'm going to tell you, one of the things that I've noticed throughout my existence is that we've lost a real harmony and connection with people in itself. And we actually condemn much too much. And instead of embracing as much as we possibly can, because people are always going to make mistakes. People are always going to do things that's wrong. But, you know, the smart thing to do is wise people always try to seek good counsel.
Yes, sir.
And we very rarely do we actually try to seek good and great counsel, because today's world is really pushed upon separating ourselves from everyone else to do what's in your best interest and your best interest only. Run everything and everybody else over that you possibly can. So I was glad that you talked about that.
And oh, I think thank
you. You know, the church itself has lost its overall compassion for the people that it can touch, because it's turned into a business. And compassion can never be a bottom line venture. It can only be a sustainability venture.
And you know, because it's always been a business. All you got to do is go back to King Leopold's letter to his missionaries. I believe it was written in 1881, where he tells his missionaries, you know, they have one of the most important jobs for the colonialists. And one of the main jobs was to collect tithes and offerings and not use it to help people, but to build thriving business centers that are odes to the system of white supremacy. It's all documented in the letter. So you're absolutely right. It's always been a business, especially when it comes to the colonization of non-white melanated people globally. Now, what you just said about the ego is powerful, because you know, I came from a hip-hop music background, and that is, to me, the biggest ego-based industry ever. you know, and
hold on, Rise, hold on. We at the half hour. Hold on 1 second, okay. Bruh, because I don't want you to get too far in this, because we're going to talk about the ego base of hip-hop. Yeah, I got to go to this commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. You'd like to get in on the conversation, 704-802-5056. Give us a call. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay. Give up on my way.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. My man Rise was sounding off. So go ahead, Rise, let's go back to you.
All right, thank you. Yeah, so, you know, like I said, that industry is basically an industry based on bragging, boasting, and ego. That's, you go back to the origin of hip-hop, that's what it started as. People were bragging, boasting, parties. You know, if you go back to the Caribbean where hip-hop really started, go to Jamaica, they used to do toasting. And toasting is where one sound system would basically, you know, try to outdo and outvolume another sound system. And they bragging about their team and how their team get down and, you know, my team's better than your team. That's how all of that started, transferred to the United States with Kool Herc, and we have hip-hop. So when I got into it, you're talking about the golden age. So my ego was big, and a lot of us carried our egos from street stuff. So you got to take that street ego, which is huge, because a lot of the stuff you do in the street is what gives you the pedigree to go in the business and say what you say on the mic. Because whatever you say, sometimes people will test you on what you say. You know, and even if you had that reputation, quote-unquote, they'll still test you, you know, and that's a fact. So you got to be able to back up what you're saying. A lot of these people today will talk, and they just loose with the lips and have no gusto. And it's not even about the ego aspect for me. As I transition from music to writing and, you know, helping my people and doing lectures and things like that, and what facilitated that transition was my spiritual practice. That's where I got a hold of my temper. That's where I got a hold of my ego. And I was able to discern clearly where my ego was a detriment, because I was very, very spitfire. It didn't take nothing for me to get physical. I didn't like to do a lot of talking. I'm still like that to a degree, but I'm under a lot more control because I'm older and wiser, but my temper's still there. So, you know, and being a victim, you know, and especially a victim who is not prone or apt to really tolerating stuff from the colonizer, you know, it's something that I have to still work on at times, depending on the context of what's happening in my day. But the whole idea is that once you understand that the ego is something that can really put you in situations that can get very ugly if you're not wary about it. To me, the ego is just as bad as any other bad habit, because it's something that clouds your vision, and egos usually come into play with emotional situations. So when you get emotional, you more tend to be about ego. As I got deeper into what I do now, that is out the window. And the people who taught me, the greatest of our people who taught me, that was something that they made emphatically clear. They made emphatically clear the importance of, you know, really researching things and getting to the bottom of things and understanding things on a really good level before speaking about them. This is all stuff I got from them. And the whole thing in a nutshell is, you'll find that even to this day, you'll see that I'll just go stick with rap. The rappers with the biggest egos have gotten into the biggest trouble all the time. They might make a lot of money. They might get a lot of notoriety, a lot of fame, all your social media stuff. But you'll find that they're constantly either in trouble with other human beings or in trouble with the law. And it's just a balance you have to find. And the crazy part is, yesterday I found out from my wife that within 48 hours, three different young black children attempted suicide that we are connected to. One of them passed away, and she was in Manhattan. She actually threw herself out of a window. And what happened behind her doing that was that her parents didn't allow her to go to a party. So that was the driving force for her making this decision. But there were, of course, other things that led up to that. But it just ties into the fact that even the ego can be mental illness. Because if it pushes you to the point where you cease to want to exist, or it pushes you to the point where you end up doing something to someone else for no reason, it's not like it's self-defense, it's just your ego, which is, that's what we came from, that's what I came from. So it's just not a good thing. And what you were talking about kind of made me think about this young sister, because she was only 14, you know, and it was just really sad to get this news and have to talk to these people and kind of build on this stuff. And the other part too, you talked about thoughts are things, and how you create things by the energy you put into them. One thing that I've always looked at, if you go to Nollywood, which is basically African version of Hollywood, they don't make horror movies, because in African culture, exactly what you said applies. Whatever you put your thoughts, ideas, and spiritual energy to become living things. We breathe the breath of life into things that we actually interact with. So even when you look at the horror movie scene, you'll hear stories of white people in this country committing murders wearing a ski mat, wearing the hockey mat. Where did they get that from? So they created real life Jasons just by putting Jason in a film. They created real life Texas Chainsaw Massacres by putting that in film. You know, the same thing with The Purge. You know, you look at Katrina. Katrina was The Purge. Black people running from, you know, a hurricane and floodwaters, and police and colonizers setting up and gunning them down as they're running to safety unarmed. That's The Purge right there. So the idea of what you put your thoughts and energy to is of the utmost importance. Even when you look at social media, Facebook, all of these things, I've posted numerous articles that talk about the fact that your attention is money. If they can get your attention, they're making money off of you hand over fist. And that's the same thing that applies even to misinformation. And that's why I say that this age, this information age, is probably the most highly refined form of COINTELPRO I've ever seen. Because you have so many people with the access to reach massive amounts of people, but if the people who are reaching these massive amounts of people don't have any personal integrity, don't really do their due diligence, then they're doing the job for the colonizer for them. Some of these people are definitely getting paid, but there's others who just have their own ideologies. They're not really, it's not their intention to misinform people. But if you haven't really gotten the understanding of how to do certain things as far as researching and cross-referencing, triangulating to get to the point where you understand, okay, this information is actually accurate, I can move forward with it, then even if you're trying to do something good, you can still sometimes ruin people's lives. Because like I said, this is life and death stuff. Like, people take this for a joke. I don't take this for a joke. The people who I grew up under, these were the people who put their lives on the line every day at a time when they were killing us for a lot less than they're killing us for now. So the whole thing in a nutshell is, if you're doing this type of work, you want to understand that it's no less important than if you're an emergency services worker. You got to put in the actual time and effort to really get deep into what you're doing, and then present that information once you're sure. And if you do make an error, like you said, we all do at times, you just correct yourself. Hey, you know, when I was talking on this particular subject or this particular article or this episode of the show, I said such and such and so, and, you know, that was actually an error. Let me correct myself. This is what the situation really is. That's it. You know, and if you can do that, then you find that you'll grow. And then people will respect you more, and people will be more apt to listen to you. Because I told my son the same thing. I said, don't ever listen to anything I said. Go do your research. I'll tell you, these are my sources. Anytime I've written an essay, I put all my sources in the essay. So people can go see it and understand, this is why I take this position in this essay when I write what I write. As you compile the information I use to do my research, then you can say, wow, now I understand why he took this position. It's not just me throwing these ideas out there and just willy-nilly saying stuff and then just running off at the mouth. It's really trying to get to an understanding as to, why did I formulate this thought pattern on this particular subject? The information is what drove me towards the truth, and the truth is this, based on the research.
that simple. Thanks, my brother. I'll mute my line. Phenomenal show as always. And big up to Scotty, he was holding you down quite well. And peace to Otis, too, and brother Rio as well. And Max, too. Peace and love.
my man, Rod. So much that was said as always. And, you know, I've always, and I think it's really important for us to be as humble as we possibly can, because what we can build from, I tell you, one of the things that I always always thought, and I kept quiet among myself, I always loved to lose. Always loved to lose, because I've always thought that losing, before you can become a winner, you have to first learn how to lose. Because I think that you, in doing that, you can learn why things went the way that they went. We have such an immature, the system teaches us, and we've actually taught our children ourselves to have such an immature approach to when things don't go right for us. And I had to learn that. And oh, believe me, when you take that approach, that means that things aren't going to go right, and it's going to be challenged. And you're not going to always meet up to every challenge. Some challenges are going to absolutely floor you. But you can get back up. You can definitely get back up. And that's what's so beautiful about this moment in eternity that we're in. Is it perfect? I think it is. I really do think it is. Because it's actually giving us the ability to create a better eternal us daily. If we choose to do that. If we choose to do that. And I hope that I know that's my overall intentions. I can't say that that is the right way. It's just the chosen way that I've decided to do the best that I possibly can, because I don't look at just right now. I've learned from losing and becoming a champion of losing. It's really hardened me to the loss of the temporal momentary things when I'm setting and storing everything up to win continuously, eternally. So that's just you know, one way that I look at it. Man, time is flying. We got another caller in queue. I got my man, I believe it's Thomas out of NYC. Thomas, what say you, my brother? Go ahead.
Peace. Hey, what's up, brother?
What's up, bro? Peace, bro. How you feeling?
I'm doing good, man. Peace for all the callers. I had just wanted to say a quick thing. Now, Dave, if you find out some information that's contrary to what you've been taught your whole life and believed in, and you start researching it, and you change your perspective from the research you've done, and the more research you do, you learn more things, and you find out new things, and you think that this could possibly help your people if they also take the same perspective. And then you try to share it with people that you usually speak to, even family members, and they don't want to hear it. They start calling you names. They don't want to listen to you. They shoot it down as soon as you say it. Let's just take, for instance, when I found out that religion was fake, and I tried to go to my family with that, how they treated me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would say, listen, you know, I don't believe in this. And then after a while, you start saying, F Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Because you now you want to listen to me. So I don't call that ego. But let's just say I talk to you about silver from time to time. You know I know a little bit about silver, and I know the value of it. And one day I say, yo, Dave, I just did some research, and I found out aluminum is more valuable than silver. And you're like, man, get out of here, man. I'm like, Dave, look at your research. I think they've been lying to us this whole time.
Right.
Are you going to just say, get out of here, I don't want to hear it, you're crazy, or are you going to look at the research? I mean, that's pretty much all I had to say, brother.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to look at the research. I'm definitely going to look at the free, and I would hope that I would look. The smartest and the wisest thing is always to look at the research, and to also to resonate with the possibility of an opportunity for you to learn something more. You know, and it's wow. And because there's been so many deceptive things that have been taught to us, so that whatever sounds correct ain't correct. Just by the overall mathematical equations of reasoning deduction tells you that system is lying. And now the system may not be lying about everything, but what the system definitely does is manipulate. But to answer your question correctly, well, you made a mistake, bro, by telling me something about silver. And I put so much of my life into this. I'm going to say what? And you're going to have my full undivided attention. You know, my friends and family members will tell you, I don't care who it is. When there's certain things, when you actually spark someone's passion, there's a silence that comes along because you've been in tune to learning as much as you can about something. When there's another opportunity to develop yourself even more and evolve even more, you listen for that opportunity. And you focus. You say, here I am. But I know exactly what you mean, brother, when you talked about Thomas, when you talked about some of the institutional things that the people that we love the most, how committed they are to something, to where they will excommunicate you for not following the path of everybody else. Why can't you just, everybody else does? How many times have you heard that throughout life? Why can't you just be like everybody else? Does everything have to be a conspiracy theory? No, there's no such thing as a conspiracy theory. It's just a conspiracy agenda. And you know to yourself, you don't speak to them in the way that they speak to you because of how you've evolved to where you kind of understand. But you also know that, hey, I still need to be learning some things. I could be wrong. There could be something that I don't know. But when you talk about that historical family traditional things, where family will excommunicate you for certain things, let me just say this. It's better for them to excommunicate you in respect than for you and for us to uphold them in deception and destroy their eternal opportunities. It's better to be to take the sacrifice and the hit, because your shoulders are big enough. That's why you question. People with small shoulders never question. They don't always obey because they got strong enough shoulders and big enough and broad enough shoulders to bear the burdens that come along with it. And that's what is always going to happen. You want to stand out like a sore thumb? Speak against the overall crowd. Speak against what's popular. Speak against what's deceptive. Speak the truth in the land of lies. What happens is this. The truth becomes the lie, and the lie becomes the truth. The truth is what people live every day that may be based in some falsehood. But it's their truth. So the dynamics of our overall free will is so powerful. And this is why we have to first start on an individual journey. One of the first things that a young prince and a young princess must master is the art of being lonely. You have to master that. Because when you start to execute your talents and ability from the free will that you have, you're going to find yourself that you were born alone, you live alone, and you're ultimately going to make the great transformation alone. So shall it be. So, great, great point, brother. And this is part of our development that we all need to continue to go through. I don't think that there's anyone that's reached their full potential, because I'm not looking at other people's full potential, because I know I haven't reached mine, so I don't hold that burden against someone else. So we all have a journey. And I'm going to tell you, the greatest thing that you can do is serve. Greatest thing that you can do. The most admirable, great creator ability that you have is to serve, because that's how we got here, through service. So I think we got one more caller out of this is D, the caller out of Chicago. D, what's going on? What say you?
I've been trying to find you, man.
I know. I saw some of your texts and everything. I tell you, just I'm going to tell y'all, check this out. I had a little incident I had to deal with. I had a little growth on my body. I had to go make sure it was good. And so in between working and everything else, and I don't like seeing no doctors. So what I did is I doubled up. I saw a regular doctor, then I had to go see a herbalist to check out what was going on. And so they both said the same thing, and I'll take care of it all. So I'm good. But and I've been crazy, crazy.
Okay.
My man Scotty says, as you get older, you'll notice some growth. My man Scotty. So that's what went up, D, and we need to definitely catch up, and I'm glad that you called in. Let me tell y'all, man.
I was going to get you one way or the other.
Man, Deborah will throw rocks. Deborah will fight everything. Boy, where you at? So I love you, D. So, but yeah, let's catch up.
Okay. You give me a call.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All right, y'all, we got to get ready to get out of here. It's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. Hey, next week, what I want to do is, we talked about with the firearms things, we talked about some of the importance of the rounds. We gave you some rounds. What I want to do is give you some actual firearms that I think that are relatively cheap, that are reliable and good, and give you some of the reasons why. Just in my opinion, we'll do some of that too. So someone said, Dave, yes. Okay. Yes, all right, y'all. Never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. Big ups, Thomas, Mario. Big up, Roz. Big up, Otis and Deborah. Big up, Scotty. Thank you so much. I'm sorry I was late today. I was somewhere, and I couldn't get back. And, you know, Friday traffic in a major city, and especially a major city that you don't know how to traverse, is pretty, pretty bad. So much love, much respect. It's never goodbye, and I seriously mean that. It's never goodbye. Ever, ever goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. Big Cal, my big brother Calvin, I'll see you later. And I see you, bro. I'm feeling the messages you send me. Much love, much respect. We'll talk to you later. Brother Bragg, if you would be so kind to chime us out, we'd greatly appreciate it. Salute to you too, OG, my man, Brother Bragg.
Peace, peace. Hey,
peace, Brother Bragg. Yes, sir.
I just want to say this, Dave. Anytime, any day, somebody want to sit down and debate me on my ideals, we can sit down anytime. I'll bring my paper and my pad and my notes. You bring your paper, your pads, and your notes. We'll pull the information up right now. We'll see what's real. We'll see what's false. But I bet you don't want to sit in front of me with my book and my pad. Peace, brother. We all together.
Peace, brother. Much love. Much respect. We'll talk to you.
Yes. Peace. Peace.
Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. slicing.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on...